can't even stand and walk without you holding my hand. How can I and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I've learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach you this morning, dear God, in this time of waiting for the word to come forth, we ask, Lord, that you'll break it forth to us, Lord, and help the people, Lord. I pray you knowing each and every need. I pray, Lord, that you'll guide us down the avenues, Lord, to where you would have us to go. We ask for your blessing on this service, Lord, and for you to receive all glory and have the preeminence in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read from Exodus chapter 2. Starting at verse 11, I want to speak on finding the real you. Finding the real you. Verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was growing that he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee prince and judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. You may be seated. Moses really struggled to find out who he really was. He really had a struggle to try to find out who he was. Moses was born, and you know, his father and his mother, why, they did pretty much as Abraham had did when Abraham was told to go and to sacrifice his only son. Here they were, to try to save their son, they gave their son up. If they'd have tried to keep him, they'd have lost him. But they figured God gave him to him, they've just given him back to God. And they were following under the direction of Almighty God when they made the ark to put Moses in and to put him out in that crocodile-infested waters where the crocodile, the very place where they had been throwing the babies. When Pharaoh had heard there was to be a deliverer born, why, he began taking all the male babies and having them thrown into the river Nile and to be eaten by the crocodiles. And here, Brother Branham said these crocodiles fattened off the babies of the Hebrews, and they put them right out in the midst of where these crocodiles were, because they believed that he was born a proper child. When he was born, Brother Branham said, they knew and believed that he was born to be that deliverer. Then, of course, God took care of him while he was floating down the Nile, had him to go to where the place where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and we know that his sister Miriam kind of followed along to see what would befall the child. And here Pharaoh's daughter took him in as her own son. Brother Ram said, you notice they didn't even name him before they put him in the water. They just strictly gave him back to God and said, God will name him. And here he was raised right under the nose of Pharaoh, the very deliverer that Pharaoh was afraid of, and grew up as like a son to Pharaoh. And God had hit him. Brother Branham said, God's got his hand on his church. He had his hand on his man. He's got his hand on his men today and on his women. God's able to take care of the situation. That's something we need to always remember. God is able to take care of the situation, whatever we are in. Many times we, Brother Branham says, we say we got faith, and he says some people what they have is hope. There's a difference between hope and faith. Hope will only last for so long, but faith holds on through it all. Faith doesn't turn loose. Of course, we know that Moses' own mother, his own birth mother, became the wet nurse to him. And Brother Branham said that as Moses was growing up, his parents taught him that he was born a proper child. They taught him that he was born to be the deliverer. And Moses knew this intellectually. You've got to know more than just intellectually who you are. Moses knew who he was intellectually. But Satan can always defy your intellect. Because your intellect deals in the realm of reasoning. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Don't ever think you can out-reason the devil. That's not a realm we want to be in, is reasoning whether we belong to God or not. Reasoning looks at, well, look at what I've done here. Look at what I've done there. And look at this individual I'm involved with over here. And look at this over here. Reasoning looks at all those things. But faith sees that God called you. God didn't have to call you. He didn't have to call me. Out of the millions and billions of people in the world that he passed over, why did he call you? He had a purpose and a reason behind it. He didn't call you out of the kindness of his heart. He didn't just feel sorry for you.
Amen. Oh, my. Preach it, brother.
So Moses knew intellectually, and he grew up, and of course, in Pharaoh's court. He was trained in the ways of the military. Became a great general in Pharaoh's army. And maybe thought, well, that's my way to deliver the people. I can do it because I'm a great general. And then, of course, Pharaoh loved Moses so much that he was willing to give Moses the throne in his passing. So Moses stood there with one foot on the throne of Egypt and could have, and maybe even thought in his intellect, well, my parents, mom and dad, that's my real one. They taught me that I'm to be a deliverer. Maybe this is the way. If I become Pharaoh, I can just set him free. But that wasn't God's way. And many times we approach something we know intellectually, we know by faith intellectually, but we try to approach it through our own means. We know intellectually that God is a healer of all of our diseases. But if we try to approach that through a way of intellect, through a way of reasoning, or through our own way, that's not the way God does it. Some people wonder, why is it some people, it seems like they get something, they've got to go to the doctor over, somebody else gets it, and God just performs a miracle on him. God knows what you have need of. God knows that. Brother Branham said if he just all the time gave you everything just right away, he said you wouldn't be nothing but a spoiled child. God don't want no spoiled children. God don't baby us. Sometimes people want to be babied. Well, you've come to the wrong thing then, because God don't baby. Brother Branham said, God don't have no hothouse plants. Y'all know what that is? I remember growing up as a kid, You'd go in to buy at a produce stand or something, some tomatoes, and they'd have what they call hothouse tomatoes. Yeah. And that was where they'd grow them in a greenhouse under a certain condition and atmosphere, and they could grow them even in the wintertime.
Right.
And it had fake light, you know, instead of growing on the sunlight. Baby them along. Why, if they'd have planted them tomatoes out in the real world, they'd have never made it. That's why they called them hothouse plants. God don't have no such thing. If you're going to make it, you're going to go through these trials. You're going to go through these situations. Sometimes we want God to deliver us out of something just simply because of our fears.
Amen.
Well, if God had healed me, I wouldn't have to have that surgery. You know, I'm afraid of anesthesia.
That's right.
Well, guess what? I lay odds that you're going to have to go through surgery. Because God's not going to deliver you just because you have a fear of something. God doesn't want you to have any fear. See what it is? If you have a fear of that, then what it really is, you're saying, God, you're not able to take me through that. But God's able to take you through anything. He's able to take you through everything. God's able to take care of his children.
Oh my.
So Moses struck out on his own to try to realize he knew. He thought, well, I know who I am. I'm a deliverer.
Come on.
And he understood it intellectually. But there was something missing.
Yes, sir.
He only knew it up here. And when he went out and slew that Egyptian, why, that's all he produced out of his intellect was one dead Egyptian. That wasn't going to set him free. And then when his fellow men were out striving one with the other and he begins to rebuke them, one turns and says, what are you going to do, kill us like you did the Egyptian? And then Moses then realizes in his intellect, uh-oh, now this has got to be known about. I'm going to be in trouble over this. And he realized all of a sudden it didn't work out. And then because Moses only fought with his intellect that he was to be delivered, that intellect got jarred. And Moses got to thinking, well, maybe my mom and dad were wrong. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be the deliverer. They must be wrong.
Come on.
Well, I sure don't feel like one now. I feel like running. And so he ran. And he lived out in the desert. We know by the scriptures he lived out there 40 years after he fled from Egypt. So it was 40 years that Moses said, no, I'm not that deliverer. I thought I was one time, but I guess I was wrong. And that's what happens to us a lot of times. We come to this word. And we're taught these different things, and we know these different quotes, and we know different scriptures, and we hear it preached, and we think, yeah, okay, I'll accept that. I belong to God. I'm part of the bride. But if we only accept that with their intellect, then Satan will be able to shake that. He'll be able to jar that. At some point, you'll get to thinking, oh, I must have been wrong. It didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. The first mistake you make, the first time you fail or fall, then there it is, that voice saying, nope, guess you was wrong.
That's right.
Message of perseverance. Brother M says, yes, Moses failed. Moses had never heard the voice of God. He just had been told by his mama and teachers of the day such and such was coming. God was going to send to deliver. His mother said, son, I believe you're that person. Moses didn't know for sure. He couldn't understand. Therefore, the first little mistake to come up, the first little fall, the first little threat, he ran to the wilderness. That's what happens to people many times. the first little threat, the first little fall, the first time something doesn't seem to go the way they thought it was going to go, well, I guess maybe I'm not one of them. I don't even know why I'm going to church. Maybe I should just quit going. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do you ever think about that if you are a seed of God and you're not coming to church, you're being a hypocrite? You go ahead and try to quit church. It ain't going to work. If you belong to God, God will bring you back if he's got to drag you back. Listen, friends, if you belong to God, that's just the bottom line of it. That's all there is to it. God's going to get you. You can try to run from, you can think, but I really want to do this and I really want to do that. Wait till all that blows up on you and falls through. One way or another, if you belong to God, you're going to come to a realization that you ain't going to get away from him. Maybe a spouse says, well, if my spouse don't want to believe, then I wouldn't want to go without them. I won't go either. Well, if neither one of you belongs to God, it'll work that way. But if one of you or both of you belongs to God, that ain't gonna get it. And I'm not up here to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that every time somebody gets married, if they're seed of God, they marry seed of God. Nope, that's not true. Sometimes you get out of God's will. Get with the wrong one. Sorry. That's the truth. I'm not saying that about you. I don't know. I don't know who is and who isn't. But neither am I going to stand up here and paint up some false picture for you. Some false hope. You have, as an individual, got to want to serve God no matter what. You cannot serve God on conditions. It's just like when Japan was surrendering. Japan wanted to have certain conditions that they'd abide by. And General MacArthur come in there and said, nope, the only thing I'll accept is an unconditional surrender. You can't have no more military. You can't have no more of your own might. We'll look out after you. Yep. Your military's done with. Unconditional surrender. That's the way it's got to be with God. You can't surrender under conditions. Well, God, at one time I knew a fella who was a friend of mine, and he had felt kind of like he was pulled to come back and serve God, and he had this girlfriend. And he really liked her. And so far she hadn't seen or wasn't come. And so he would call me on the phone. He called me, it seemed like 2 or 3 times a week. And we didn't live near each other when he was calling me. We grew up as friends, but we'd been separated by different things and a span of, you know, miles or whatever. And so he was calling me up and finally, I realized what it was. He was wanting to offer to God, if God would save her too, then he would serve God. And I told him, I said, it don't work that way. If she belongs to God, she's going to come. But you have got to want to surrender to God whether she comes or not. You've got to make up your mind that you're serving God no matter what anybody else says or does. And see, Moses intellectually knowing what he knew, and then that intellect failing him, then Moses couldn't come to that place. Well, I'll serve God no matter what. It took Moses going out and losing everything that he had. And coming down to a place where he finally met God. message of perseverance, Brother Branham says, Moses knew intellectually by his godly mother, our beloved sister, Jochebed, and he heard her teaching the intellectual manner, how his life had been spared by the crocodiles, how God had made him a proper child. He was born for a deliverer. And how Miriam, his sister, had followed him down to the bathing beach, how Pharaoh's daughter had took him, and God had brought him right up and nurtured him right in the palace of Pharaoh, and how he was going to deliver the children. Now, intellectually, he knew that. But you see the first little mistake. Oh, don't miss it, church. You might know it from a word standpoint. You might know that the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, but you pray until God says the prayer of faith saves you. In other words, you can know it from the standpoint of the word. Yes, the word says the prayer of faith will save the sick. But until you have an experience with God and God drops in your heart that you're the one that it's going to save.
Amen.
That's to you.
Amen.
You see, many times people know it from the word standpoint. They don't question the word. They know what the word says and they don't question that. But the thing that Satan gets them to question is, will that apply to me? Does it apply to me? And you know what? Satan will take and use the scriptures against you. Well, you know, Judas was the treasurer of the church. Well, that don't mean every treasurer is a Judas. Judas was also a preacher. Judas was also a preacher. Does that mean every preacher's a Judas? Satan will use those things against. Well, yeah, there was Abel, but I must be the Cain in this bunch.
Amen.
For God had Jacob, but I must be Esau. Look, here's a news flash for you. Satan has no idea who is and who isn't. Satan doesn't even know his own children. That's what kind of what do they call that? A deadbeat father. He don't even know who belongs to him. So how in the world can he tell you that you don't belong to God? How in the world can he tell you that you're a Judas or that you're an Esau? He don't know. When Esau and Jacob were born, Satan didn't know who was who, but God did. Satan didn't know because he has no foreknowledge. Satan didn't know what Esau was going to do or what Jacob was going to do, but God by foreknowledge saw what they were and knew that Esau was a son of the devil. Now, the thing that Moses was missing was an experience with God.
Right.
If all you've been hanging on to intellectually that you belong to God or not, then what you really need is an experience with God.
Right.
If you are sitting here and know this morning that there's been times you've been shaken to say, well, I don't know where I belong or not, you need an experience with God.
Right. Yes, sir.
When Moses had that experience with God and came to the burning bush and spoke and said, I've seen the afflictions of my people and I'm going to deliver them just like I promised Abraham I was. Now you go down there, you're the one I'm sending. Then Moses knew for sure who he was. You want to know who you belong to God or not? You need to have an experience with God. Amen. Have an experience with God and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptism in water is for the remittance of sin. So it cuts off all past sins. There was one brother that I've been told about that was went to Brother Branham's meetings that every year he would go and get baptized. So said it chopped off past sins. So just in case he sinned during that year, he'd go get baptized again. It don't work that way. Once you've been baptized, then what it is? Then you need to seek God for the Holy Ghost. You say, do I need to get down and pound the altar? No. The Bible said the Gentile way of receiving it was while the word was preached. You can receive it right there. You can have an experience with God sitting in your seat right there this morning. God come down over you. God touch you. Why Christ speak, Brother Branham said, though his mother had told him these things, and he knew this, yet he needed another touch. The teaching was fine, but he needed a personal contact. That's what you need this morning is a personal contact, a personal touch from God. You say, Brother Jerry, does Satan ever come to you and try to get you to doubt? Sure he does. He don't know whether I've been touched by God or not. Sure, he comes and tries to get me to doubt. But the thing is, I know God called me. And he said, no man can come except the Father called him first. And said, all that the Father's give me, I have them and I'll not lose a one. So if God called me, he ain't going to lose me. Sure. Well, I'm subject to sickness. I'm subject to diseases. I've been subject to mental breakdowns. But you know what? God is the one that's seen me through it all. He's the one that's brought me through. And I can tell you this, there isn't nothing that I've come through that hasn't in some way worked around for my good.
That's right.
It builds. I'll tell you what, sometimes the hardest things you go through is the best character building things. This message of identification, he says, now this reflection, his loving, noble character, God reflected in man called Christ. He was only one that could do this. There was no other character in heaven could do it, see, was God. He was a sinless nature. He was the Word, sinless nature of God. He was the Word express, which the Word was the beginning. And if you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from his thought. He's seen you and seen your desire before there even was an Adam or anything else, and you are his thought made word and expressed into what you are now. That's God in you, reflecting Christ today. You know what I mean? A reflection, you got to be identified. And if you were in God's thinking at the beginning, see, and what is his reflection on earth? You bear record of the heavenly as he bore record of the heavenly also. I like this quote. I've used it many times over the years from the Unveiling of God, message preached in 1964. And it's toward the beginning of the message, and Brother Branham said, like a man building chimes, making chimes, the molder, each bell has got to have a ring different from the other. The same material, but so much iron, so much steel, so much brass, to make it give that ting. That's the way God did. He bred this one to that one, and this one to that one, and that one to this one, till he got exactly what he wanted. That's how he came down. That's how God got you to be who you are. He had great-great-grandfather get with great-great-grandmother and then right on down through the lines until it got down to your mom and dad and then it got down to you. And God said, yep, now that's just the way I wanted them. When Christ the Holy Spirit, this is why people are so tossed about 1956. When Christ the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, he's in you with your temperament. You know what that is. That's like your personality, the way you're made up, your type of personality. He's in you with your temperament, and he's living his own life through his own will through you. Christ living in the individual soul surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips, thinks through the mind, sees through the eye, acts through the temperament. I didn't mean he acts through your temper. Temperament. Now, that's your personality. But now, if it's your sometimes your attitudes get wrong. And you need to have it adjusted. That's not your personality. Your attitude is not your personality. Sometimes you get a bad attitude over something. And you know what? You'll never get anywhere with a bad attitude. You will never be able to have brotherly kindness if you have a bad attitude. Because brotherly kindness doesn't pick and choose who you're going to be kind to. You can't pick and choose who you're going to be nice to. Well, I got brotherly kindness, but that individual over there, they just turned me wrong. No. Somewhere there's something wrong with you. Because you're supposed to love them no matter what. Look, here's a quote a lot of people like to use. They said, Brother Bram said, we will get so close to one another and such and become such perfect love to where we could chew one another's chewing gum. I ain't there yet. I'll tell you this, I'm not there yet. But I think what he meant by it, what I would say that we've got to get to a place to where even one another, you know, we have our little faults. We have our little flaws. Let me make it more clear. We have our little ticks. Our little things that make up kind of who we are. And it's a little tick, and that ain't something that deals with God. It's just something that, like, when I get real nervous, I'll bounce my leg, and I'll sometimes rub my head like this when I really get nervous. That's just a little tick I've got. I don't know I'm doing it. My wife will step over and she'll make my leg stop or something. There's little things you got. Through all those little things, sometimes maybe it's your laugh. Maybe you snort when you laugh. But y'all know what I'm talking about. We all got our little ticks. But we've got to love one another past all that. Because that's just human things. That's just flesh things. Those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we've got to love and look past those little flaws and them little faults and little things. Does that make that clear? I can give more examples if you want. My wife, I think, shaking her head, don't give no more examples. But she knows I'll probably get on her. Well, there's many things that I know my wife has to look beyond to love me. So he acts through your personality. God don't change your personality when he saves you. You have the certain personality you have because God made you that way. Now, I'm not talking about, you say, well, I got a nervous, no, that's not your personality. That's just something that you've been afflicted with.
Right.
Nervousness is not your personality. That's just something you've been afflicted with. That's something you've got to overcome. That's the thing you got to push past. Well, I suffer from anxiety. That's just something that you've been afflicted with. That ain't got nothing to do with your personality. You have got to overcome that anxiety. You've got to be able to push beyond it. Say, how do I do it? I can't. I'm with you, I understand. But I know this, in the end, God's the one that can help. He's the only help. This morning I was sitting at the table eating breakfast. After I got done eating breakfast, I was just sitting there and just kind of staring and thinking. All of a sudden, I just kind of sighed real heavy. Well, I said, what is it? You don't want to go to work today? Well, I'm enjoying it since I got here. I'll tell you something. This is the most freedom I've felt in a while preaching here.
Amen.
Something's got to be loosening up spiritually.
Amen.
Because I went through a time here over within the last year where I began to question myself. Was I ever going to, God, were you anointing me or not? God, am I ever going to be able to preach the way I used to preach? Maybe something's wrong with me. Then I went and preached some other places, realized, nope, wasn't me. I realized the problem was here somewhere. But it's loosening up now, praise God. Believe us out of this, he says, I believe all great gifts are foreordained of God. I believe all gifts are foreordained of God to come into the world. For instance, Jesus himself, he was foreordained of God to come into the world. Do you believe that? He was a woman's seed that was to bruise the serpent's head. And the serpent's head to bruise his heel. I believe Moses was foreordained of God. When he was born, he was a proper child. He was raised in Pharaoh's palace with his foot on the throne to become the heir of even Pharaoh's son, to fall heir to the throne. But he was ordained of God. If he'd have been an ordinary man, he'd have went ahead and took those great honors. But he was ordained of God for another purpose. If you'd been an ordinary person, there wouldn't be nothing keep pulling you back here to church. You go on out, live your life, do whatever you're going to do, wear whatever you wanted to wear, dress however you wanted to, act however you wanted to, go wherever you wanted to. But you're not an ordinary person. That's why you keep getting pulled back here. That's why you get out of church a while and then you just, something happens and you got to go back. What is it? God's not going to let you go. And I'm going to keep preaching this to you until you finally believe it. When Moses was born, he was a proper child, not because he was Moses, not because anything he had done, but because God chose him before he was born. It ain't got nothing to do with what you did or what you don't do or how you've done or whether you've been successful or whether you failed or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. Sometimes mom and dad's life gets off track. And they drag the kids with them. I've watched it happen over the years. But you know what? If those children belong to God, God's going to bring them back. They'll not be lost. There'll be something there. But you know what? I can go and talk to somebody and I can tell them these things and they could say, come to us, say, okay, I believe what you're saying, Brother Jerry. And then they would come to church. And then they'd be in church a while, and then something would shake that. Because they were just taking my word for it. It don't do me no good to just go tell them if they're not going to hear from God.
Amen.
But here's the thing, the responsibility falls back on you, falls back on them.
Amen.
Responsibility don't fall on me. Look, I do everything I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
I can go talk to an individual, then I can preach to him.
Amen.
But it's up to you to believe it.
Amen.
You need an experience with God? I can tell you you need an experience with God, but you've got to accept that you need an experience with God. Then you've got to ask God for that experience and seek God for it and wait on him.
Amen.
Be perseverant.
Amen. Wait on him.
Led by the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham says, before Jeremiah, when he come to the earth, the great prophet Jeremiah, God said, before you even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and called you and sanctified you and ordained you a prophet over the nations. It ain't just what somebody does, it's what God does. If you belong to God, then God chose you before you were ever even formed in your mother's womb. God knew you and because you what? You're just an expression now of God's thought. The authority of the word, Brother Brim says, you're that way because God made you that way. Now, what you've got to do is you've got to take your personality, your temperament, as Brother Brim called it, and you got to surrender that to God and allow him to use it. If you try to use it for God, you're going to turn out like Moses did before he met God at the burning bush. You're going to fail. There's part of me that I'd like, when I see somebody going through something, I'd like to just go do it for them. I want to go straighten out. There's a problem arises, I want to jump right in the middle of it, straighten it out right then. I don't want to fool around with it. But God will tell me, wait. And I've had to learn to wait. Because I tell you this, I've jumped in the middle of stuff before and nothing was resolved. I've went into stuff before to try to help people and I come away looking like the bad guy.
That's right.
Well, I ain't doing that no more.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I preached in 1952 in Chicago, Illinois. He says, it's altogether by grace. It's not by desire, it's by grace. God called Abraham out of the whole world of people because Abraham was better? No, sir. It's grace, God's chosen election and call. You are what you are because the grace of God has made you what you are. Who, taking a thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Is that right? It's by grace. and my angels go before me, says, you can't help because you have blue eyes. Who, taking one thought, can add one cubit to his stature? If God wants you to be a certain thing, he brings you to this earth to be that, and you will be that. You have the color of hair you have because God made you that way. Brother Gene, yours is that way because you got older. Mine's this way because I got older. But whatever hair you was born with, that's how God wanted you. Whatever color eyes you had. I know there's people go out and they want to have a different color eyes, and they go out and buy these contacts to try to change the color of your eyes. You are what God made you. You got the eyes that God wanted you to have. Ain't nothing wrong with your eyes, and there ain't one color better than the other. I think in my family, every one of my kids got a different shade or color of eyes. He says, if God wants you to be a certain thing, he brings you to this earth to be that, and you'll be that. But if somebody says, well, like, I believe I can make more money if I'm a preacher. My goodness, I don't know what in the world they got to thinking. You'll never make a preacher. God has to call you to be a preacher. How can a preacher preach unless the Lord is sending? Well, they might come out and smile real big, smile the whole time they're talking, talk about prosperity and whatever else, and have a stadium full of people, but that don't make them a preacher. Listen here in the voice of the sign. He said, Moses, no one else could take his place. No one else could do the job. He was ordained to do it. Brother and sister, if you got eternal life, you were ordained to do a certain thing. But nobody can take your place. God has made you a place. So what God has called you to do, the purpose God has for you, ain't nobody else can do it. Nobody else can take your place. There's one in heaven or in earth. There's no one in heaven or in earth can take your place. God has made you for a purpose. That's a message of why, preached 1960. Three kinds of believers. Nobody can take your place no matter how little. You say, I'm just a housewife. Nobody can take your place. And God, in his great economy, has set it so, the body of Christ in order, till there's no one can take your place. Voice of the sign says, God has called a person to do a job. There's no one else can take its place. There's no one else can take your place. Your peculiarity. An identified masterpiece of God, he says, he has a purpose in your life, each individual. No one else on the face of the earth can take your place. God has got something for you. You're made like that. You did that way for a purpose. God is sovereign in his work. We differ one from another. No one else can take your, no one else can do what you do. God made you a certain way. God works with your personality. If you'll surrender it to him, your temperament, and God works within them frames, and God works to bring glory to himself through you. Perfect faith, he says, he caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hand. He caught me and he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you were unlovable, but he changed you. Just like the sister said in her testimony, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. then I'm not what I used to be. She knowed she had come somewhere, something had happened, and that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence he wants to use me. Do you get that? If God has picked you up, called you, placed you in here, that ought to give you the confidence that God has a purpose for you. God wants to use you. And I'll tell you this, Brother Branham talks about in the message of God always has a witness. He says God never leaves himself without a witness. I believe that's the name of the message, something that along that way. But he says we're God's billboards. We're God's billboards. Ain't nobody else can reflect the Lord like you do. Because God made you a certain way. And you touch people's lives that I may never even come in contact with. And you can touch people's lives in your family, unlike perhaps maybe that I could. Tell you what was wrong with this area when I came here. People had heard the message. They'd heard the quotes. They had known a lot of these things intellectually, but there wasn't being a true reflection of those things within their lives. Children didn't, they could hear their parents talk about this message, but they weren't seeing a reality of it lived.
That's right.
That's true. That's true.
Amen.
That's
right. Well, I don't have nothing to do with so and so and their family. Why not? Well, somebody out of their family did me wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't a whole family. What in the world's wrong with you? Abraham says in his message, Unfailing Realities of Living God, he said, the other night I went with some friends who are present now, a group of them out there to see, hear Samson Delilah, a Cecil B. DeMille's production. And I heard much about it and I thought I'd drive out and see what it looked like. And I seen that and I began to wonder, what did God ever see in a guy like Samson? In the days of Judges, I wondered, what did he see in this Samson? I've wondered, what in the world did God ever see in me? Have you? But I'll tell you what, you know what God's seen in you? His seed that he was in you when you were born. You belong to him. There was a family, preacher's family, and they had three kids, and one of them was, the youngest one was quite a bit of age difference between him and the other two. And he was the youngest, and his name was Stevie. And I remember them coming to the house, and his older brother, I was outside, and his older brother got a hold of him when his little brother was a teenager, and he said, Stevie, I don't care if you got to be a hypocrite, act good. That was one of the meanest youngins you ever met in your life. His mom would take him for a nap, and she'd be dragging, half dead, holding on to Stevie and him just bouncing. They go for a nap, hour and a half later come down, she's still dragging, he's still bouncing. And I tell you what, that kid just was never still. He took a bite out of a piece of fruit we had on the table, opened up our sliding door, and just pitched the rest of it out into the yard. That was just light stuff he did. He was a mean youngin. Man, his mama loved him. It don't matter how mean you were. It don't matter how rotten you were. If you belong to God, he loved you. Because God wasn't looking at what you was then. God was looking at what he knew you would be. What he called you to be. That's right. God looked past that human nature. Well, I've got to wrap this up. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." He's talking about us. The message of the rapture, he says, "Now if you've got eternal life, you were in God before there ever was a world. You were a part of the Son of God, an attribute of God. He knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age to take that place, and no one else can take it. Care how many impersonations and things, you've got to be there because he knew you would be there. Now you are made manifest. Now you can fellowship with him. That's what he wants. He's longing for fellowship to be worshiped." In your life, it always was an attribute in God. You just, if your life wasn't an attribute in God, then you'd just be a mimic. But you were an attribute of God. Your dad or mom cannot fulfill the purpose that God had called you for. No one else can take your place, and you can't take nobody else's place. You had to be declared here on earth, your name declared here. Every name, he sits there interceding until every name has been declared. He intercedes until the last one is born. We always talk about when the last one comes in, then the rapture will go. Do you ever think about maybe the last one being born? Because he says he has to intercede. Brother Ram says this and still says he has to intercede until every name has been declared here on earth. Let's stand. Mother Nate, if you're prepared to come. Finding the real you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for your encouragement to us, Lord. And I ask, Lord God, that you'll take now this word that's been preached and quicken it to the hearts of the believers. I pray, dear God, that you will, Father, you will work within their souls and their hearts, dear God. And if there's one, Lord, that or one that needs an experience with you, then I ask, dear God, that you, knowing, Lord, that I can ask it because I know you're going to do it anyway, that you'll bring them to having that experience just like you brought Moses. It might have took 40 years, but Lord, it finally came and you brought him, Lord. Then we also look at, dear God, that Brother Branham said that the people wasn't ready 40 years before that. God took him out of there because he had to let the people get ready, had to make them ready, had to let things get harder on them to where they'd want to leave. Lord Jesus, you have your hand upon each and everything, each and every one. Lord, and we know, Lord God, all that belong to you, the Father will call them and they will come. I pray your blessings on the people today, dear God. I pray your blessings on their fellowship today. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to your glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Sing "The More That I Surrender."
The more that I surrender, I'm
thank you for it.
Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for.
This time out of